Amen. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 tonight. Acts chapter 2. It's good to have visitors with us tonight, and hope you feel welcome. We have a visitor here tonight because the flyers have been passing out. I met them a moment ago, and what a blessing already to see results from the active involvement of our membership of getting out in the community and knocking doors and passing out the flyers, and encourage the rest of us to get out this week and try to pass out the rest of them that are there in the foyer. And our goal was to pass out 10,000. I think there was actually 11,000 printed up. The actual printing place that we use are very, very kind to us. And we'll pay for 10,000 and they'll print 13,000. And we have a little connection at our printing place. And so but if we can get all 11,000, or we get 9,000, or if we get 8,000 pressed out, praise the Lord. And we look forward to seeing the results from that. In Acts chapter 2, look at verse 41. Here we see on the day of Pentecost, and Peter gets up and preaches, and basically preaches the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And even there at one point tells that large crowd that had gathered that they had killed the Messiah. He basically calls them murderers and said that Christ was indeed the Messiah, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead. And some of them believe, the Bible says, and look at verse 41, says, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers." All right? "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and all had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to meet together in your house. We do pray as we present these three important truths that you would just nail them down in our hearts, that we would make them the very fabric upon which we minister here at our church and upon as we minister individually. Help us, Lord, to fulfill the purpose that you intended for us to do as a church and as individuals. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight I want to just speak to you about the new decorations on the wall we put up this week. And to emphasize for us our purpose as a church, and that is to love God, to grow together, and to serve others. There are many ways in which to express it. You can go on nearly any church's website, and you can look up their purposes, and they've got it stated in some way, in some fashion. I think these three, though, really bring it down and summarize it down to where not only can we make them a fabric of what we're doing here at our church, but also some of us will be able maybe even to remember them. Love God, right? Grow together, serving others. And, of course, they're going to be on the wall every Sunday when you walk in for the next few years. And so maybe as we go along and we touch on them, and as we preach on them, as we touch on them and we preach on them, that each of us can begin to make this a part of the direction in which we are heading as a church and as individuals. I've preached on the purpose of the church many different times and in various ways. And so we must absolutely understand that a church must fulfill its purpose in order for it to be a church. The church is not the building. This structure is not the church. The people are the church. And you can put church out in front of any building, but that doesn't make it a church. And there are lots, lots, and lots, and lots of churches today who claim to be churches who are not churches merely because they are not fulfilling the purpose that God intended for them to fulfill. Again, it's just like having a Goodyear tire plant and all of a sudden you stop producing tires. Well, you're no longer a Goodyear tire plant. You're whatever else you do in that factory, right? And there are churches across America today who put church on their name but are no longer fulfilling the purpose in which and the intention in which God put them there for. As I said this morning in our interlude, I said, you know, we are not a social club. Heritage Baptist Church is not a social club. And I would tell you there are many, many churches out there today who are just that. They have become a social club. And I preach to the choir tonight. I understand that. But I want to drive it home again that Heritage Baptist Church is a church fulfilling the purpose of God, not any individual's purpose, not my purpose, not the politically correct purposes that are out there today, but we are fulfilling what God wants us to fulfill and do what God wants us to do. We see, number one, that we are here, we exist to love God. We exist to love God. Individually, we exist to love God. We were created for His good pleasure. Acts 2:41 says, they that gladly received His word. We think about loving God. We think about Deuteronomy chapter 6. We won't take time to turn there. And Matthew 22 and Mark chapter 12. The Bible says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. We're to love Him with everything we have. It's our purpose. We're to love Him. We're to love Him. We are to grow in our love for God. As Christians, we ought to grow in our love for God. We've used this illustration many times, but my love for my wife is different today than it was 18 years ago when I married her. Our love has grown. You should be able to say that in your own marriage. We think about love being the motivational factor. I've said this many, many times, that our motivation for service should be love. Right? I teach a Sunday school class because I love the Lord. When I at first accepted Christ as my Savior, my motivation can vary. For instance, and I've used this many times. I'm going to say that many times tonight. My mind's going 100 miles an hour. But I obeyed my dad as a kid because I feared him. I obey him now because I love him. As a Christian, when you accept Christ as your Savior, there are times in which we obey God because we fear Him. In fact, I said the other night when we were going over those principles and precepts and standards and convictions that all of us need a good return and a good reverent fear for God. It would sure help in this day and age if some people really got a fear of God down in their heart. But I am telling you, the greatest experience as a Christian you can have is when your motivation changes from fear to love. I don't know about you, but I enjoy my relationship with my dad better today than I enjoyed when I was a teenager, though we had a good relationship. But I enjoy it a lot better today. A lot of that is because our love is totally different. My motivation for service is totally different. And yes, as a Christian, sometimes I slip back into the old habit of serving because I have to and because I fear the Lord. And I'm just being real honest with you, and some of you ought to be too. Sometimes you just get real tired and you just get discouraged. And sometimes you walk through those doors and you are in your Sunday school class teaching because it's your obligation to. But what about those Sundays, and how good does it feel when you walk in having studied and having prayed up and having just had a great walk with God that week, and the Wednesday night service was woo, and everything was just, and you come in and you are serving because you love Him. You know it? And can I tell you, as a Christian, your love for God should continue to grow and grow and grow to the place that you are absolutely serving God because you love Him more often than you did 2 years ago. Not because you have to, because you want to. Can I tell you that that's what maturing is about as a Christian? Our motivation. God does care about our motivation. We should love Him and want to. You know, when we get to that place in our life when we are loving God properly and we are maturing as a Christian, we'll want to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Let me rephrase that again and say, when you are growing as a Christian, when you are maturing as a Christian, and your motivation is where it should be, that you'll want to go to church. No matter who's preaching, no matter who's teaching, you'll want to go to that Sunday school class. You'll want to be here on Wednesday night to hear the preacher. You'll want to, listen, as you mature and you love the Lord and you grow in your love for God, you'll want to give, not because you have to, because you want to. I mean, the check, when you write the check, it's a blessing and not a curse, right? I'm talking about when you love the Lord, when you grow in your love for the Lord. You say, preacher, I'm not there yet. Well, there's some new Christians in the audience tonight that should, you know, probably wouldn't be there tonight. But there's a lot more of us that should be in that position already. Loving God, maturing as a Christian. There ought to be a process and a time in which you love godly music. That when you go out to your car and you turn on and the radio comes on, if it comes on a I left my wife and they got me a new one. I want to confess. This is the confessional booth. Got in the new church van. Oklahoma City. It has a CD player. I wish I'd have grabbed CDs, but it was on a particular station. It was a country and western station. I said, we'll see. Very first song was this. I'm laying with my wife thinking of Linda. Does anybody know that song? Oh, don't raise your hand, right? But it was an old country and western song called I'm Laying with My Current Wife Thinking of Another Lady. That's what the song was about. I was going, my goodness. I said, so I turned it over to ESPN, the godly station, right? No, I couldn't get ESPN up there. But anyway, and I think maybe I listened to a second. I'm telling you, I maybe listened to two or three. And every one of them was just terrible. A mature Christian, a Christian who is loving God and growing in their love for God, when they get into a vehicle and that type of music would come on, they would switch the station. Listen, they wouldn't just switch the station because that's not what they like. They would switch the station because they like godly music. I'm not talking about they like it. I'm saying they love godly music. I'm talking about they have developed an appetite for godly, Christ-honoring music. That they don't have to force themselves to listen to godly, Christ-honoring music. Isn't that good? I'm talking about you mature in your love for God. When you're loving God properly, you walk into the church building, you want to be here. You want to hear godly music. You're growing in your love for God. You're maturing in your love for God. Your motivation is a love for the Lord. Again, loving and doing out of love and not out of fear. How are we to love God properly? Where does it start? It starts at salvation, of course. Then they that gladly received His word, those who accepted Christ as Savior, that's where loving God starts. You can't love God properly without being saved, without knowing Him as your heavenly Father. And again, for lack of time, you can look up some of these verses later, but John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 says, those that believed were become a part of the family of God, or become sons of God. Can I tell you, at the point of salvation, I became a son of God? When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you became a daughter of God. You become a part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Isn't that great? A part of the family of God. And because I'm part of the family of God, I have His eternal love. I know this absolutely about my earthly father. If I was to mess up tomorrow, my dad would still love me. I'm glad I can say that about my earthly dad. But can I tell you, I can never mess up enough. My heavenly Father will always love me. And not only is His eternal love, and I become a part of His family, and the true love truly begins with God, but it's a perfect love. In fact, it says, perfect love casteth out all fear. And we love Him because He what? First loved us. And God is love. We are to love God. But let me tell you, it starts with salvation. And I want to tell you, it starts with Him. He already loves you. He loves us. He loves us. We love Him because He first loved us. He loves us in eternal love and unconditional love. This loving God continues with identification. In Acts 2:41, it says, they that gladly received His word were what? Baptized. Loving God has to do with our continuing to be identified with Him. And in baptism, we are identified with Christ. We are showing, if you would, we are proving our love for Him. I'm not ashamed of the salvation I have. I'm not ashamed of my Heavenly Father. And those who accept Him as Savior should not be ashamed of Him. In fact, He says, you're ashamed of Him, He'd be ashamed of you before the Father. There's some pretty good verses on that. But that baptism identifies us with the Lord Jesus Christ. It identifies us with the body of believers. It identifies us with the doctrine of the apostles. It says, they that gladly received His word. They weren't forced, but they were willing. They gladly identified with Jesus. Baptism is a public testimony that you love the Lord. I mean, if it just get right down to it, that you want to be identified with Him. Anyone who has not been baptized, according to Peter, says that your conscience will bother you. That Holy Spirit will bother you. And you won't be able to let it go until you get baptized scripturally. Isn't that good? I mean, it's that important to the Lord that the Holy Spirit's going to bother you until you get it right. It identifies us with Christ. We love the Lord. Loving the Lord starts at salvation, and it continues with our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. Again, identifying with my wife is this wedding, my wedding band tonight. Identifying with Christ is the baptismal waters. Of course, also making us a member of the church. Of course, the church in which you're baptized. It says, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Can you just underline the word them in your Bible and out in the margin put church? The them in Acts 2:41 is the church. The church began in the Gospels with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I will build my church. And so on the day of Pentecost, there's no birthday candles there. The church did not start on the day of Pentecost. It was empowered on the day of Pentecost. And when Peter got up and preached, some rejected, some accepted, but those who accepted and were willing to follow the Lord in believers' baptism were added unto the church at Jerusalem. By the way, it was a large church. It didn't have a big building like we have, but it was a large church. They were added unto them. And so our love for the Lord, again, begins with our salvation. It continues with our baptism. And then also our church membership added unto them. I have serious issues with individuals whom I meet who say, preacher, I don't like organized religion. Preacher, I don't go to church anymore because, you know what, I don't have to go to church in order to be spiritual. Or they'll say something like, preacher, I've got my own thing going. Me and the Lord, we got our own thing going. And I'm like, have you read the New Testament? I mean, seriously, have you read it? The New Testament, it's absolutely about the gospel, but if you want to put second on the list, it's about the church. I mean, Paul's writing to churches. Jesus is starting the church. I would tell you, absolutely, and Brother Stewart touched on this, that God uses His church. It's His primary mouthpiece, just like the Jews used to be. And God will bless you when you do His work through the church. You say, well, what if I do it outside the church? I'm not saying He won't do, you know, so I'm just saying He blesses the work through the church. I'm not saying you can't put a quarter in the Red Cross thing at the Target store, but I'm saying the quarter you put here, God is going to bless in a different way than He blesses that quarter because you're using His method. Amen. Love. The love of God continues through baptism and continues through church membership. And we ought to want to be, our love, we ought to want to be a part of His church. And then the love of God is absolutely cultivated through our worship of Him personally. You ought to have a personal worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For instance, think of Mary and Martha. There in Luke chapter 10, says that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus worshiping. Martha was cumbered about much business. And Martha comes to Jesus and said, hey, I'm in here cooking and doing all this stuff. Mary's sitting there. Come on, Lord, get on to her. Get her in there helping me. And Jesus said, no, she's done the better. What? Can I tell you, we must be very careful about getting cumbered about much business. And busy does not mean love. Right? Not when it comes to the Lord. Our motivation matters. Are we really, truly, do we love Him? We should be worshiping Him personally, spending time with Him personally, developing that devotional time. Again, our Christian walk doesn't just happen. It has to be worked. Our Christian walk has to be worked. Our daily devotional life has to be maintained and has to be worked. I'm telling you, you've got to guard it. You've got to continually refine it. You've got to personally develop a relationship with the Lord. And secondly, our love for God produces a collective worship. That's what we're doing tonight. It's what we did this morning. It cultivates our worship of God through the church that He established. We as a body together are worshiping Him tonight. And there are many verses, Matthew 28:17, Hebrews 10:25. By the way, Hebrews 10:25 says that, you know, that we should meet together in His house, and so much more as we see the day, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much more as we see the day approaching. Isn't it amazing to me how many churches today have just totally, must have just cut that verse out of the Bible? Because they're not meeting with God more, they're meeting with God less. No Sunday night services, no Wednesday night services. I mean, the early church met daily from house to house. How would you like to go to that? I mean, we're just meeting 2 days a week. And people have become so oblivious and so caught up in the world that they can't meet 3 times a week in the house of God because they're too busy. The love of God will cultivate worship in the house of God together. This is a special time to come together. This is a special. Absolutely, you can worship God personally, but it's special when we come together, as we learned throughout the entire Bible conference. It's special when we come together. There are many verses that talk about where two or more are gathered together in My name, there will be in the midst of thee. There are verses that talk about where the church, where they pray together, where two or more pray together, that God will hear them. It's collective worship of the Lord. How do we collectively worship Him? Through preaching? We're worshiping Him right now. If you're enjoying this, even if it's me with my raspy voice tonight, you're worshiping the Lord. You got your Bible open. You're thinking about Him. You're processing thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ. Singing. Earlier, we sang some good old hymns. You're worshiping the Lord. If you were thinking about those songs as you were singing them and not just mouthing words. Right? Worshiping the Lord. Singing unto Him. By the way, when I got saved, I received a new song. That's why I didn't like that honky-tonk song I was hearing on the radio. I received a new song. Received a new song in my heart. And it's a blessing to come together and hear the choir. I'm looking forward to next Sunday because I know they're singing that song that I like. It's going to be good. Can't wait. I'm ecstatic. Love it. Worshiping the Lord. Singing unto Him. Hey, can I just... And you just remind you again as a church that when you sing, sing out. And there may be a visitor sitting in front of you and you're... they'll think, man, this church may not really, you know, like what's going on here. Or they may not, you know what I'm saying? You say, well, so I should just do it for... No, you should do it out of love for the Lord. Sing with all your heart. Amen. Now I got to meddling instead of preaching. Worshiping God has to do with the preaching of the Word of God, the singing, the giving. As we give, we are worshiping Him. I'm talking about giving in the offering plate. That's part of worship and worshiping Him. Brother Lee Robertson, great pastor who built a great church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, used to have a saying. He said, three to thrive, three to thrive, three to thrive. Can I tell you, as a Christian, if you are going to grow in your love for the Lord, it's going to take 3 services to do it. 3 to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You want to grow as a Christian? Be at every service. Well, preacher, I don't get to... I understand. Every service you go to, you may not get something out of. But I always remind him of Doubted Thomas, who missed a service and missed out on the greatest blessing ever. And that service you miss may be the service that God totally, totally revolutionized and changed your life. 3 to thrive. We need to push that a little more. We come to church to get spiritual meals, to feed our spiritual souls. Love God. Love is not a substitute. I'm sorry, labor is not a substitute for love. Let's love the Lord. Love God. Love God. It begins at salvation, continues through our identification with Him through baptism and church membership. It is cultivated by personal and collective worship. We think about, again, loving God. So, all right, so we start with loving God. We're going to go to growing together. So loving God is the foundation for the other two. Everybody with me? Right? That's where it starts. It starts with salvation. It starts with developing that personal walk with Him, developing that walk, loving Him more, and then growing together. It says there in Acts 2:42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayer." It says they continued. They continued. They were growing together. They were growing together through what? Through doctrine. The apostles' doctrine. That's a word that has not been that has become unpopular today in many churches. When many churches will say, "Hey, let's drop our differences, let's drop doctrine." Can I tell you the Bible is all about doctrine? Doctrine simply means teaching. This is the Bible. This Bible is full of doctrine. If you come to church, you ought to learn doctrine. And I'm telling you, we ought to hold the doctrines of God to our chest and never let go of them. Stand solid and firm on the doctrines that are found in the Word of God and never let them loose. Never let them go. Never waver upon those fundamentals of the faith. You say, "Well, how do I know whether to join a church or not? A particular church?" Well, do they teach doctrine? Bible doctrine. Do they teach the fundamentals of the faith? Do they teach them Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Do they teach them in Sunday school? Hello, church. Man, I'd join a church who has a personal discipleship program on Wednesday night. I think it's a great church. We've seen just some excellent results from the one-on-one discipleship we started on Wednesday nights, and some of them are here tonight as a result. Teaching doctrine through special events like our Bible conferences, family conferences. We don't have Brother Webby come in just for kicks. You know? Brother Webby comes in and teaches on the family in order to edify and build up the family of God at Heritage Baptist Church. To teach you solid biblical principles and doctrines on the family. And not from Dr. Spock either, but from the Word of God. We have Bible conferences and stewardship conferences and revival meetings and missions conferences and ladies' retreats and men's retreats and every area. Heritage Baptist Church is about teaching and preaching Bible doctrine and getting the truth out. Growing together. How are we to grow together? We're to grow together through the teachings of the various ministries. Right? That's why you shouldn't miss anything. That's why growing up, my dad, we never missed a service of any kind except for vacation twice a year. We never missed any. We every revival meeting, every missions conference, every family conference, every vacation Bible school, no matter what it was, we were there at church before my dad ever became a pastor. And he didn't pastor until I was 15 or 16. But when he was a deacon, and when he was a children's church director, when he was a bus director, I remember knocking doors with him and knocking on those doors and picking up bus kids all over this big, huge metropolis of Bowie, Texas. Being involved. But we never missed a service. Like I said, except a couple times a year for vacation. Collectively, teaching, growing together through the Bible and through the doctrines of the Word of God. We also grow through devoted fellowships with the people of God. I told one of our men earlier today that sometimes we de-emphasize the importance of fellowship. And we make fun of it. We say, "Oh, them Baptists, they like to eat." I absolutely do like to eat. And I absolutely do like to eat our church's ladies' pies and cookies and those Oreo things that Miss Vicky made today. And I enjoyed eating with the one of the classes, victory class today. Faith class, sorry. Victory class went to Lonesome Spur, which is my favorite place. It was a practical issue. But we I do it on purpose. We kind of laugh and we make fun and you'll go to various other meetings and people always make fun of Baptists because they eat all the time. But can I tell you, just as the doctrinal teachings from the pulpit, and just as the doctrinal teachings from Brother Harry's class, or Brother Kelly's class, or Brother Henderson's class, Brother Fiesler's class, and whoever else's class, and that is vitally important to the growth of this church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whether it's me or Brother Stone preaching or whoever's teaching and preaching from the pulpit is important. Can I tell you that fellowships are important as well? To sit around and talk about the Bible with Brother Fiesler at a fellowship is important. Who you hang out with is who you are. Who you draw near to is who you are. And I'm telling you, if you're here and you're born again Christian and you're hanging out with the old crowd before you got saved, you're hanging out with those who drink and chew and go with girls that do, it's going to ruin your Christian life. You want to develop friendships here at Heritage Baptist Church. By the way, Heritage Baptist Church, we ought to be friendly. Not just to the visitors who walk in, but I'm talking about the new members who are looking for a place not to just believe, but to belong. They want to have relationships here. But sometimes we have various cliques. By the way, I don't think there's anything wrong with cliques. You know why? Because they're going to happen. You can't stop it. And why? Keep trying. All right? You know what? Various people in the church are going to get together who have likes and dislikes. Hello? Common sense. All right? Find the people that like what you like and hang out with them. Because I promise you, somebody in this church, there's a crowd that likes what you like. Right, Brother Shuler? You like to play the guitar, I guarantee you. You can get a few together, and you can play as long as you want to until midnight. Or past. I see you guys are crazy. I'm going to be sleeping. But there's a group that like, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Boy, we need to be friendly. We need to open ourselves up to new members who are wanting a place to belong. Include people, right? You say, well, I normally set my so-and-so at a fellowship. Well, find somebody you don't know and set beside them. You'd be real surprised that maybe the person becomes your best friend. Amen. I think it's so cool that people with such diversities of personalities and likes and dislikes can get along. This is the only organization where that happens. And that's because it's the Lord's. And we can love each other in spite of our differences. Isn't that good? Amen. We're growing together as a family through not only doctrinal and through the teaching and preaching the Word of God, but through fellowship with God's people. And lastly, serving others. Serving others, and I'll be brief here. And it says, and all that believed, in verse 44, were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Then eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. This wasn't communism. This was commonism. Had all things in common. They weren't forced to give up their stuff. Somebody said, well, that's communism. That's not communism. Communism's of Satan. Okay? All right. Communism is people giving liberally because they love the Lord and looking out and seeing the need of others. Isn't that good? That's what Christians are supposed to do. And apparently, there in the Church of Jerusalem, we know there was a lot of various trials going on and a lot of attack on that church. There was a lot of poor people, and so they would sell things to help others who were in need. In fact, you'll notice in another part of the epistles that some were corrected because it got out of hand. They were selling stuff to the effect where they were becoming poor themselves. And one of the apostles said, hey, stop. Anyway, that's another sermon. But they had all things in common. They were there to serve others. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it really, we're not going to turn there, but serving others. It's about doing for others. Paul made this very clear. He said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for a state, but all seek their own. As Christians, we are to love God, and as we're growing together, it will produce service. As we love God and we grow together spiritually, it will produce service of others. It will naturally do it. It will. How are we to serve others? We are to serve others by discovering our place of ministry in the church. In other words, everyone the Bible speaks of in Romans chapter 12 and also in Corinthians, that we are the body of Christ and that we're working together. That you have been given a gift by the Lord, and you need to discover that gift through the help of the Holy Spirit and use that gift here at Heritage Baptist Church. There is a place of service for everyone. I've had a few come to my office lately, some of our newer members saying, where can I serve? Where can I serve? And now it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to have to sit down and say, you know, I don't know yet. Isn't it good to have that many workers? By the way, in certain areas, nursery and children's church, we need everybody we can get. All right? But it's great. And then we absolutely, there will be a place of service for them. There's a place for service for everybody. The Bible makes it very clear. Christ makes it very clear. Everyone has a talent, and that talent was intended to be used, and that gift was meant to be used here at your church. In order to serve, you must find your place of service. Find the place where you can minister, whether it's in the nursery. It may be in the nursery once a month. It may be in children's church once a month. It may be helping with the yard. And we appreciate those who have helped us in the past because that's about to start. You know, it may be helping in the yard. It may be helping clean the building. Thank the Lord for the guys who re-waxed all these floors and maintaining the beautiful building that God has given us. And we don't want to see it go downhill. We want to continue to maintain it. And man, thank the Lord for Brian Cobb and some others who would break their backs in here mopping and doing all those things for over 200 hours worth of labor. Man, thank the Lord. There's a place of service for everyone. And it shouldn't be on the back of one person or two people or three people or four people. It should be on the back of every one of us collectively. Every one of us. And I've used this analogy many times, but are you pulling the wagon or are you riding on the wagon? All of us should be a part of pulling the wagon. All of us should be a part of service, serving somewhere. Wherever God, well, I'm not going to serve God unless I can teach them. You know what? Boy, you ought to be very humble about it. Come to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Come to your pastor or to the Sunday school superintendent or to one of our deacons and say, you know, I'll serve wherever you want me to serve. Amen? Find your place of ministry. How are we to serve others? We're to develop a passion for the lost. And do I have to preach on this again? Yes. Yes, this is the area in which we all become lax. This is the area in which we have to constantly prop up and push and pull and prod. Because as Christians, praying and soul winning are the two areas in which we will just constantly lay aside. Isn't that amazing? And the preacher's got to get up and holler and slobber and all those things and say, listen, you ought to be winning people to Christ. You ought to be winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be out knocking doors. You ought to be out here on Tuesday night and Tuesday morning and Saturday morning helping us reach people for Jesus. Teachers and workers ought to be out working, and deacons and finance team ought to be out telling others about Jesus. We all need to be telling others about Jesus. Because if you love God properly and you are growing as a Christian, you will serve others. You will be concerned, and you will have compassion, and I will have compassion for the lost and dying world around us. How are we to serve others? We're to serve others by developing a passion for the lost. Let me say that again, by developing a passion for the lost. Can I tell you that most of the time it doesn't just happen? Go win your first person to the Lord and see how you feel. It'll change your whole complexion, your whole temperament. Right? But then you go one time and get the door slammed in your face and see what happens. Because that's going to happen. Yeah. It's a constant battle. But boy, this is an area of all of us. All of us got to continue to don't get complacent in your soul winning. Don't get complacent in your effort to win that loved one to the Lord. Don't get complacent with trying to win your neighbor to the Lord or that co-worker or that aunt or that uncle or that neighbor. Don't get complacent. You say, I've been working on them for years. I've been trying for years to win my aunt to the Lord. Well, keep trying. Keep telling them about the love of Jesus Christ. Keep giving them the gospel. That's your job, by the way, is to give it to them. It's the Holy Spirit who gives understanding. I'm just simply to do the job of giving the gospel out. And the Holy Spirit does the work. Lastly, oh, by the way, soul winning is not just personal, it's collective too. Actually, the Great Commission in Matthew 28 was not given to individuals, it was given to the church. And we as a church and as leadership need to collectively be about the Father's business of winning souls to Jesus Christ. Can I say this? Soul winning is the main thing. And when the main thing is not the main thing, there's a problem. And can I tell you, our church from time to time gets our eye off the main thing. Amen. And every once in a while we got to go, whoop. And we got to go, whoop. All right, everybody, hoopatasso. Remember that? Amen. Another pastor I know used to use that word a lot. Amen. Line up. All right, captain, sergeants, everybody, let's all line up together. Corporals, everybody, let's all get together. One army going forth, winning half of it to the Lord. Sandera Ranch and Lonesome Dove and all these other places. Let's win them to Jesus Christ. Let's put a couple of flyers on a door. If you're too scared to knock it, don't even knock it. Just take the flyer, take the track and slide it in the door. We'll take the phone calls if they're upset. We get them every once in a while. Lastly, and I'm done, I'm over time, but don't look at your watches. By the way, somebody made a suggestion because of the new decorations. You know, it looks kind of bare in here about putting a big old clock back there in the back. I know what's going to happen when they come to one of those churches where everybody's going, and I just don't know if we want to go there or not. You know? I have to pray about that. Serving others. We're to love God. Again, growing that love for God. Developing that love for God. Developing, growing together as a church individually and then as a church collectively. Can we all say that as a church that we have grown somewhat spiritually in the last 10 years? You can see some progress. And Lord willing, I believe our emphasis this year, as well as maybe a clearer direction, will grow even more spiritually this year maybe than we've had ever. And wouldn't that be our goal as a collective body of the Lord Jesus Christ, to grow more this year than we've ever grown before, spiritually speaking? By the way, it'll produce service. How do we know we've grown? It produces this. How do we grow? Serving together, by discovering our place of ministry, by developing a passion for the lost, and through what? Our missions program. Can I again emphasize to you the importance of missions at Heritage Baptist Church? God has blessed Heritage Baptist Church, I believe, because of its selflessness when it comes to winning others, as well as sending out missionaries and supporting missionaries around the world. Brother Stewart said it when he was here. We're known as a mission church, and I thank the Lord for that. We've never missed a support check to any missionary. You know, we continue to take new ones on. We support about 60 foreign missionaries every month. About 30 or so home projects. That means church planters and Bible colleges and camps. I think we're up to about 95 various projects we support now. We gave over $100,000 to missions last year. Isn't that great? Well, can I tell you, keep it up. That's a part of service. That's a part of our church fulfilling the Great Commission of winning people to the Lord. We think about those missionaries who make the sacrifice to go. I got an email from Brother Midori, who is on, they're actually on deputation right now. On furlough from Kenya. And if you haven't kept up with them, there is a thing going on in Kenya right now where the government's trying to tax the missionaries. And this has been going on for 5 or 6 years. And Brother Midori and I are kind of close, so I've kind of kept closer tabs on it, and maybe so more so than other missionaries we have. And Brother Midori just saying, hey, that decision is going to be made maybe even Tuesday, this next Tuesday. So we need to be in prayer for them. We're talking about $1,000 a month tax if he had to pay it. It's $1,000 a month that he can't spend on tracts and that he can't spend on developing and producing new churches. We think about the Hafners down in Mexico. I was reading their latest letter where they finally got running water into their house after 2 or 3 years. How would you ladies have to take, literally they were taking 12 to 15 buckets of water a day into the house. That's the water they had from the well. I'm talking about old day, you know, water up from the well, taking it into the house. That's our missionaries, amen? Making that sacrifice, winning others to the Lord Jesus Christ, willing to make that, the wives willing to make that sacrifice. Isn't that amazing? No comment? a church collectively serving through worldwide missions, helping our missionaries get where they need to go. And we've continued to do a good job of that and supporting that. I hope that if you haven't and have not given and do not give to missions on a weekly basis, I would encourage you to do so. Again, it's a part of that service. Love God. Starts with salvation. Then it starts with identifying yourself with Him through baptism and church membership. A person who is truly loves the Lord will want to be a part of His body. Amen. And then growing together. How do we grow together? Through doctrine. Through the pulpit ministry. Through the Sunday school ministry. Through the master's club ministry. Through the choir ministry. Through the children's choir ministry. Every area teaching doctrine. Teaching doctrine to our people. Fellowshipping together. A part of that growing together. Not only developing relationships, but talking about the Word of God together. You know, it's really not wrong to get together and talk about the Bible. You don't have to talk about the Cowboys. Amen? I didn't touch on this one, but the Lord's table, when we meet together for the Lord's Supper, we'll be doing that here in the next couple of months for around Easter. Again, talk about the Lord's table, meeting together, remembering Christ's death and His broken body and the blood that He shed. And then serving others. Serving others through ministry. Where is your place of ministry? Have you found a place of service? And then, are you developing a soul winner's heart? Are you developing a soul winner's heart? Am I developing a soul winner's heart? A compassion for the lost. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? Because if you're truly loving God as you should, and you're growing as you should, then you will serve others. Not only in ministry, not only in ushering or teaching or whatever it may be, but in telling others about Jesus. And then it all just spills down to these individuals in these letters around the building. When you love God properly, when you're growing as a Christian individually and us churches collectively, then it will produce what we see around the building today. Missionaries being supported by our church. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand.